domestic disputes. I am Russell Hicks. This is Zara Berry. This is my girlfriend. We are in a real relationship, and I am a comedian, and Zara Berry is, she is a comedian. She's doing well. She's got a lot going on, and I am really proud of myself when I wake up at 11. So this podcast
11,
is...
11, try 1 p.m.
Possibly 1 p.m. At different times during the lockdown. Excuse me. So this podcast is basically born out of the idea that Zara and I often have very healthy debates, I would say, on a myriad of issues, you know, relevant today. We usually do these over dinner. Sometimes these happen, you know, when I'm trying to make a coffee. And, you know, before I know it, we're in like a two-hour debate about feminism. So we thought we would bring those to you. So let me just explain the format and how this is going to go. Basically, we are going to broach a topic that is relevant today, something that's been on our minds. We're going to then hopefully have a very, you know, constructive and good-hearted debate about that issue. And at the end of every issue, we are going to decide whether or not we agree or agree to disagree. And then we're going to move on to another topic. Feel free to keep score at home, huh? All right?
Oh, yeah.
Zara, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to battle. Let's do Matthew McConaughey.
Okay. You explain that? That's about... That happened a couple weeks ago during the lockdown.
He released...
Okay. Explain to me and everyone else what this controversy was, because you know better than I do.
It was controversy. I think I saw it on Twitter, but it was regarding the release of his autobiography, Green Lights.
Green Lights.
Green Lights.
How much, like, honestly, I almost lost interest in McConaughey.
Why is it called Green Lights, McConaughey? I just found that in life, when there's a red light, I turn it into a green light.
Green Lights. Okay, green that was lights. That was a bit of a hardcore Matt. You may, he's more like, so, was laying in my bed.
No, that sounds like Kevin Hart.
I was laying
Hart.
In my bed on feather. That does sound like Kevin Hart. So, that does sound like a Kevin Hart bit. One of Kevin Hart's relatable bits. Like, you know, I was the other day, right? Tell me if this has ever happened to you. I lost my kids in my house. I looked in every room. I looked in my living room. Turned out they were in the helicopter. Like, great bit, Kevin. Thank you.
Kevin Hart.
Thank you
relatable.
For releasing a special Kevin Hart in your mansion. Well, we're all on lockdown, sitting in our one-bedroom flats. Anyway, Matthew McConaughey, go ahead.
So Matthew McConaughey released his autobiography, Green Lights, and word got out on Twitter. There was the sensational headline was that he found out his dad died of a heart attack, and his mum told him that he died having sex with her. And everyone on Twitter was like, oh my God. You know, TMI, too much information, like, And then I told you this, and you were like, what's the big deal? Like, why is that a big deal? And I'm like, that is a big deal. Like, finding out that your dad died having sex with your mother is just weird. Like, it's so weird. And I just didn't understand why you didn't think that was weird.
No, I don't understand. Here's the argument, is that you found it a valid controversy, in a way, and I don't see why that's controversial. To me, what that is like, what annoyed me about that was that there are people in this world who have such poor taste, and they watch such terrible, bland things, and are just, they just live in this bubble of blandness that, and so Matthew McConaughey is sort of the bridge. You know, there are Matthew McConaughey is kind of like, still probably has residue fans from the bland years.
Yeah, the McConaughey.
Right, before the great McConaissance.
2002.
Yes.
I'm going to say that was a rough estimate.
I believe so, yes. But I'm saying, so because they're so bland, that was like a mind-melting controversy. So they get Matthew McConaughey's book because they're like, yay, catch and release or whatever.
No, they didn't even get the book, though. It was a journalist must have released that, read the book and released that as a headline. Like, that was the most sensational thing in the book.
Well, yeah.
You know, the fact that he found out from his mum that his dad died having a heart attack, having sex with her. I just think that no one wants to think about their parents having sex with each other, let alone their dad dying while he's while he's fucking your mum. Like, that's just so
macabre. So is he not supposed to say it?
Sex is so macabre. It's just too much.
But I don't understand, like, what's the answer here? Was he not supposed to share that then? I mean, he knew it.
No, that's what I was talking to you about. I don't mind that he revealed that. I think that's really like, wow, that's crazy. Wow, of course you're going to mention that in your autobiography.
It's not even that big of a deal.
I understood why it was like trending on Twitter and people were like, TMI.
No, that's the thing. I don't understand, because I'm like, if you have any palate whatsoever, you've heard stories like that. Richard Pryor used to do a bit about my dad. He died having sex with a prostitute. He was coming and going at the same time. It's so these people that just go.
Expect it from Richard Pryor. He's a lot more.
Exactly. So I'm just saying. But the fact that this was a controversy is people are just like, it's like when Britain's Got Talent did the Black Lives Matter dance. And people lost their minds.
Because
and
the
it's
people,
like,
yeah, what you're saying is the people that are consuming this
are so
the art are not
dumb.
Are not they're consuming it by proxy. So they're not actually reading the McConaughey book, because if you read the McConaughey book, you're probably a lot less. You know, it's the Twitter people that are reading the sensationalism, and you know, it's the people like One Direction fans are reading that and going, ooh, gross. Yeah, I do actually still understand the controversy. I still understand. I don't think that I was just more like, wow, I want to read his book now.
I just don't think it's that big of a deal. If your dad died banging your mom, and I mean, what's your mom gonna do? Be like, oh, your dad. Oh, how did your dad die?
I don't know.
And then tell you some crazy story.
That is a really interesting question.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
In the throes of passion. I mean, that's how I would imagine.
It depends.
The father of the great Matthew McConaughey would die.
I don't know, because I'm not sure if I would tell my kids that.
Like, green lights.
God forbid if you
green lights.
If you have sex with me.
Dad saw the white light.
I don't know if green I lights. Would divulge that information to my kids. It, you know.
Eventually, you would.
I don't know. It's a really hard question. It's quite an embarrassing. I mean, it's not as embarrassing as some deaths. I mean. But it is one of those things where it's like, it's not like something you're going to tell your gran. Like,
it's just so non-controversial to me. Like, I don't even get it. It's like, this is what annoys me, is that entertainment and mass culture has become so bland, and not that it ever wasn't, that something like that is shocking. It's like, folks, like, look out the window, okay? Look at the world, and you're really going to get that furious about Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, it's not like the Twitter brigade cancelled him, but I just understand why they were shocked, because I found it shocking. But I do understand your point where these people are consuming. So if Richard Pryor, you say that he did a joke about his dad fucking his mum, you go to a Richard Pryor show, those fans are going to be ready for that information. And, you know, that's why they love Richard Pryor, because he's controversial, et cetera. Right. But if Twitter was around and the One Direction fan or whoever is on, you know, got a piece of that information, they would, because they're consuming the art by proxy. They're not the true fan, so they can't handle that information. And I agree with you on that way. But
all right, well, so yeah, I think what we're actually arguing is it as shocking as everybody made it out to be? I think that is what the actual argument is. And I'm just gonna say, no, to me it's not shocking at all. If you and I had a child, okay, and we were having sex and you died, you know, because I was just straight giving it the business. You know what I'm saying? A little too much for her. Couldn't handle it. Yeah, I'd be like, well, I might not tell him when he's like 8, but I'd wait till he's like 12.
Okay.
And just be like, look dude, your
I'm
mom,
sure.
I know I told you.
Wouldn't
that
you just make
your
up
mom,
some other thing? Like, oh, she just sort of had, you know, I've had epilepsy. You could say I had an epileptic fit or something.
Well, here's what I might do. I might, oh, come on. That's what's up with that? Well, in a way, that's true. They'd you should like, have seen her. You should have seen her at the time, but
they'd be like
some kind of fit. But no, I might make up something. I say, oh, your mom died saving somebody, and have him believe this. Like,
no,
I'd be like,
no,
your mom
I'd
died.
Be happy
hold
if
on,
you said I'd be, this.
Your mom died like fighting for like civil rights.
No, no, no. This is what.
And then,
this
and
is
then
what
when
you
he's like
say.
20, I'd be like, oh, I'm just kidding, bro. It's just.
This is what you should say. Your mom died doing what she does best.
Yeah, that's what I'll say. And then 10
and
years
that's
later,
all
I'll go.
That's all that's needed.
And then 10 years later, I'm going to hit him with the punchline and go, by the way, what she does best. all right, so I'm going to agree to disagree on that one. You think it's quite a shocking revelation? I think it's pretty banal.
I think it's
like big deal.
I mean, it's not the most shocking thing I've ever heard, but I think it is shocking, and it did warrant the attention on Twitter that it attained.
Okay, agree to disagree. I think it was absolute nothing. Didn't even, I bet you when he wrote it, he didn't even. All right. So Kim Kardashian, which is, you know.
Yeah, let's do that.
Meh. Well, we were going to say.
Well, we got, this some kinda, we got some news about Kim Kardashian this morning.
Well,
courtesy
breaking.
Of my friend Hannah WhatsApping me going, OMG, Kim and Kanye have split. And my response was, it must be the bipolar. And then I did a little teary face.
Yeah, I mean, they were done a long time ago.
Yeah, I was not surprised.
She's holding them back. All right, Kanye, achieve your vision.
What? Presidency?
Listen, if we have to head to the apocalypse, and we are, I want Kanye driving the bus, okay? Because it's let's go, baby. Let's go. Birthday party. Come on. Kim Kardashian recently became a lawyer, a human mm-hmm. rights lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, she's still studying.
Okay, yeah, she's still studying, whatever. And so you are very sympathetic in general to celebrities more than I am. I'm very can I explain the topic? Can I just I'm so glad you people are seeing this, because this is exactly what happens when we're on our own. Like, even the mention. Okay. So you're a little more like sympathetic to celebrities and you give them the benefit of the eye. You're much less cynical about the royals and that kind of thing. So our general argument is, Kim Kardashian overall good or bad for humanity? I mean, considering these new things, I feel like my position, I'll just state quickly, is that this is just, you know, I'm tired of celebrities doing these like about faces and suddenly reinventing themselves and just being like, let's forget the last 10 years of cultural destruction I've done. I'm a human rights lawyer now. It's like, are you? Or that it's like, you know, it's like when Piers Morgan just suddenly went, oh, no, he's good now. No, he's not. I don't care how many times he tweets praise to the NHS. I'm not forgetting the last 20 years of that guy. Like, isn't that epic? So,
I don't know what you're
saying. So I'm just saying, I don't like this move where they just reinvent themselves.
Well, can I just say, yeah. I think the very notion of the argument is Kim Kardashian good or bad for humanity. I think that we are living in a society where we deem people good or bad. We are people are multifaceted creatures. They can do good things and they can do bad things. No one is inherently bad or inherently good. But the Kardashians as a brand, I would say, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of what they do for humanity. I'm just glad now that Kim Kardashian is showing an interest in intellectualism, in humanitarianism, in doing something good with her fame. I think she should be praised for that. And that can only have a good effect on the young generation of girls that are now consuming, you know, instead of her, you know, she's done bad things. She's, you know, she did the whole sort of slimming tea, which basically just makes you shit yourself, you know, and she has an unrealistic body image, and yeah, that's not done
like,
any good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, of course. But now she is doing something that is good. She's actually saved people from incarceration. She saved someone from getting on death row. And I think that, you know, cynical, it's like the Chrissy Teigen thing as well. It's like, oh, she's doing it selfishly. Well, maybe she is. We all do things selfishly to a certain extent. But if they're for the greater good, it's like Phoebe from Friends. Is there a selfless good deed? And also to say that she's only doing it for PR, you've got to remember, she comes from Kardashian. Her dad was Robert Kardashian. He was a lawyer. You know, it's in her blood.
What a great man.
It's in her blood.
Thank you, for...
Yeah, he saved O.J. Simpson.
Thank you, Robert. Let's not forget the great works of Robert Kardashian.
But, you know, saying, you know, whatever you think. And also, let's remember that Kim Kardashian's mum, Kim Jong-un or whatever her name is. who called her Kim Jong-un? Oh, Kanye. Anyway.
Did he?
Yeah, Chris Jong-un, he called her.
Oh,
but she... You've got to remember the Kardashians were split down the middle. Robert Kardashian defended OJ, and Chris Kardashian, or Chris Jenner, or whatever her name is, Chris Jong-un, she was on the side of Nicole. So you can't say that, like, that their family was split down the middle. But my point was that, of course, she wants to go into what her dead father, you know, his vocation.
Well, he is alive in some ways. He's currently living as a hologram. He's living a very happy life as a hologram.
Girl, that's your human rights Christmas lawyer. Present ever.
That's your human rights lawyer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being on death row, being like, who do I got to defend me? Oh, cool. Slimming T. Here comes. Is this a joke? I mean, I don't know. And then, like, she gets somebody off of death row. I don't know anything about that. I don't know who it was.
She did.
I know, but that to me is just like, did she really? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, or did she just show up to what she promised the judge, a cameo? In the next, did she use her power? Okay.
No, because I watched that.
I mean, good for that guy.
Like, I think that it's very basic to say, you know, she's doing it selfishly. I think we all do stuff selfishly, but as if you're doing stuff selfishly and it's for the greater good, how can we say that's a bad thing?
I don't know, but sometimes I have more respect for celebrities when they're just like
pieces of shit.
Yeah. Like when you're just, it's like
Bukowski or something,
when they're just a rich, well, yeah, I guess, like, I don't know, like, if you're just if you grew up in money, I almost respect you more if you're just a rich, lazy slob.
That's
because it's
not
like, well, there you go. That's what. But to turn around and tell me, like, yeah, I'm also a human rights lawyer. It's like, I seriously think this is somehow wrapped up in your overall mission to make us all feel bad about ourselves. It's like, now not only do you have a giant, perfectly symmetrical ass, but you're also a human rights lawyer now. So it was almost like
she
looked at her list of things and was like, well, let's see. What can I make someone feel terrible about today? I'm going to become president. You didn't do that, did you?
Well, I think
that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean.
But then again, I could have issues.
But it's always the thing. It's like, but she's now doing good. And that, I'm glad that she's taken that trajectory, because the way it was going, I will say, I'm 34 years old. I've been consuming Kardashians since for maybe a good 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And I've gone through all the seven stages of whatever it is, right? Because I used to love them, and then I used to watch their show, and then as I've got older, I've realized that they're vacuous pieces of shit. Now, okay, I say that, you know, as a throwaway comment. I know they're not, I don't think they're pieces of shit, but I think their brand has become just like too much. Like, it's like, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to hear about your ass. I don't want to hear about your lip kits. I don't want to hear about, you know, how many divorces you've had. I don't want to hear about how much money you've got. And now I'm suddenly like, oh, what a breath of fresh air. She's doing something that's actually meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like the Chrissy Teigen thing. It's like their overall oeuvre to me is like, you know, annoying, but they're sort of generating their powers for good now. It's almost like in the Marvel universe, there's the Punisher, okay? Now, the Punisher, you might not know, is a psychotic, vigilante murderer. The Punisher loves to kill, but he only kills bad guys. So it's kind of like, well, all right, as long as you're aiming that in the right direction, sometimes you got to work with them. The other Marvel superheroes don't like the Punisher. They don't mm-hmm. agree with his tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't argue. He does good things.
That's the thing. I think we have to get out of this mentality of good guy and bad guy.
I'm surprised you didn't give me any crap for...
I was going to do a snoring sound. 37-year-old
man.
I was going to do a snoring sound.
Making a Marvel Cinematic Universe reference. Well, actually, the Punisher, for those... He's not actually a part of the Cinematic Universe, although there have been Easter eggs.
I was going to do a snoring sound, but then I thought, do you know what? The people listening to this are probably into comics.
So, all right. Well, let's just wrap
and
that
Kim
one
Kardashian.
Up then, because...
well, yes, I just think that people... I would say Kim Kardashian, the brand, was detrimental to people's mental health, etc. But now, I would say with the lawyer thing, that she is rectifying her mistakes and, you know,
all right.
doing something good for humanity. All right.
So at the moment... At the moment, really, considering she is actually helping people who are falsely accused get off death row.
Also, they ended the Kardashian series.
And they ended it.
So I think there's a
rebrand.
Whole, yeah, it's like a reconnaissance. It's like a Kardashian.
Yeah, so although I do still think her motivations are somehow guided by the bottom line, I'm going to go ahead and say she's doing more harm than good these days.
More harm than good.
Or no, more good than harm. Thank you.
Do you agree with me?
I'll go agree on that one. Wow. I'm not happy about it. And we're going to keep eyes on you, Kim.
Okay.
Eyes on you.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, she was very sympathetic about Kanye when he went off the rails. He said she did a Instagram post about how it's very hard to be married to someone with bipolar and we have to be very patient with them and all this stuff like. She's being very gracious about mental health.
You know, when she got robbed and all that, and let's not even get into that. Let's not even open that can of worms because it's just something about how we as a society are told to have any empathy whatsoever or direct our limited resource of empathy toward these people. And it just,
I don't think we have limited levels of empathy, resource of empathy. I think empathy is the key to change. I think the thing that creates all this animosity in the world is a lack of empathy.
All right.
People need to have more of it.
All right. Well, we'll agree on that one. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that, you pulled that Jedi mind trick on me. Green lads.
Green light.
So, you know, that's why. Thank you, Matthew. No problem.
I was going to say
green lights.
Green lights.
Green lights. That's how he said it in every interview. He'd go. He would click his fingers and he would put both fingers in the air like guns and he would go green lights.
Can we talk about
that's? By the way, that's what we need to do now. Anytime you have a success in your life, like anything, like you know what I mean. If anything happens perfectly. Like if you're at the gas station and you pump it, like, and it goes up, it stops immediately on zero. You go green lights.
Green lights.
Like anything good that happens to you, green lights.
Light. I got the green light. It's basically
the equivalent.
Green lights. But also, can I just comment on Matthew McConaughey's use of background on Zoom calls? He purposely goes to the laundry room of his house. Well, it might be a laundry room. It's basically the shittest room of the house to appear grounded, relatable. You know, I've noticed it in a lot of celebrities. They go to the shittest room in their house.
And thank you for that.
Which is like the laundry room or whatever. And it looks like it could be like a bedroom or a kitchen or a big room.
Yeah.
But it's actually the shit.
And I appreciate that.
The garage
I don't like
or
the
something.
Ones that are out of touch who like... like remember that Michael Jordan did you watch the Michael Jordan documentary?
No.
Like the Michael Jordan documentary, I couldn't concentrate because he's doing every interview in what looks like heaven. So to end it, we're gonna end the podcast. We thought it would be good to do a little segment that we call something we can all agree on, because we've gone through the whole podcast sort of pulling at each other. There are certain things that we both agree on, and I think we all agree on. So,
pizza is nice.
Right, there you go. So, it depends on what's on it. But, all right, so something we can all agree on. Yesterday, late at night, you and I were – I went online, and I saw that protesters at the White House – or the Capitol building, Joe Biden was about to be – sworn in, I believe. I believe he's like sworn in at that moment in the congressional building. And I hope I'm getting all those specific places right. But Donald Trump gave a speech, basically riled up all his supporters, and they like stormed the building to try to stop the proceeding. And it got like potentially violent and everything. And he, even when he apologized, Donald Trump just said like, this is fake. This election is still fake. You know, and I think something that you and I can both agree on is that this dude, it's almost like great to watch because he is so obviously defeated.
Yeah.
That he, and I don't know how you can be a sentient being on Earth, mm-hmm. even if you're crazy right wing, mm-hmm. and not get that this dude is just on it. You know what it reminds me of? When you're bombing on stage
yeah.
so badly and you just
flip
the switch and just start yelling at the crowd. Like it's like Kramer at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
It's like, and he's just saying nonsense. And it's like, you know what? It almost makes me feel good because I'm like, they won the Senate in Georgia, so they're going to have more control. And I'm like, you know what, dude? This next 4 years
good.
Is going to be a freaking liberal landslide. I don't even care. I'm rubbing it in their noses. America is going to be a Whole Foods for the next 4 years, okay? Trigger warnings daily. So
I think it's exposed. Like, I think his behavior in the last 2-3 months, obviously his behavior has been pretty shit his whole term, but his behavior has escalated so much that it's thrown sensible Republicans off him, which is only a good thing. So he's actually just he's just halved his demographic by acting like this, because it's only going to be the complete crazy people that are still on his side.
I totally agree with you. I think there's good Republicans, you know, like that see these things. And like, it comes to it, like, one thing with Americans, as I was telling you last night, is that like the big thing with Americans, everything boils down to fear. Everything boils down to fear. Americans are so afraid of losing their comfortable life, which, you know, if you've been to America, I mean, it's sweet. You know what I mean? You just like lap of luxury in a way. It's weird. You're in this like bubble of like the world is out there. And so when you threaten that, whether it's terrorists or Muslims are coming, they panic. Mm-hmm. And I think that scene last night looked like as much as we're all like,
civil war.
Yeah, but as much as we're all like, oh, I like the left, I don't like the right, blah, blah, blah. It's like nobody wants like, whoa, don't burn the house down.
Yeah.
Like, because then I can't watch Netflix.
Exactly.
So I think that was a wake up call, not only to the people to be like, look, dude, there's fighting, but then there's like, it's like you went into a boxing match and then one guy brought gasoline in a match and was going to light there. It's like, dude, it's like, whoa. Like, we don't want to like kill everyone. Like, we're just having a boxing match here. And so it's like, I think that even Republicans and Democrats in the Senate and the House, because he said they were literally barricaded in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, we were like ready to fight. And, you know, when you when you're threatened like that, it actually unites you.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like there was a great comic book called The Watchmen. And the whole point in the end of The Watchmen is Ozymandias says we're going to unite the world essentially by actually, I'm not sure that was the point, but he was going to make a fake alien to unite humanity, because you have to have
a greater evil.
It'll unite all of you.
Yeah.
And I think in that moment, like, Trump actually on his way out finally accidentally did it.
Yeah.
Like actually people finally saw. That's what I believe. And I think that's so we agree on that.
Agree.
So that's a positive note to end on.
We agreed quite a lot of stuff. But yeah.
Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning into Domestic Disputes. I'm Russell Hicks. This is Zara Berry. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.